2 says, do not conform to this world, right? Do not conform. Now, some of these scriptures will be on the screen and some will not, all right? So I'm just going to, there's a lot. It says, do not conform to this world, all right? Why? Because we are temporary residents here. 1 Peter 2:11 from the Message version says, friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. I love that scripture. This world is not your home, so don't get cozy here. Too many people, too many followers of Jesus, too many church people got cozy in this world, okay? And that's caused fear in their hearts about what's coming. The church has become so comfortable in this world, and Jesus knew that this would happen. He knew it would happen. That's why he gave us warnings. That's why the seven churches in Revelation, he spoke to them the way he did. That's why he said to the church of Laodicea, wake up, turn from your indifference. You're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. He was giving us warnings about what is to come. He saw, because he's the Lord God Almighty, he saw what was going to happen, and he knew the church would grow lukewarm, and so he was trying to wake up the church to what's about to take place. Jesus said this. He said, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right? What is he saying in the scripture? Well, I would love to go into a lot of theological explanation about this, but here's basically what it is. You're holding, if you store up for yourself treasures on earth, you're holding too tightly to the things of the earth, and that's where your heart's going to be. That's where your focus is going to be. Your focus will be here on this earth when you're supposed to store up treasures in heaven, and when you do that, that's where your focus is. That's where your heart is. You're there. You're already there. How many can say, man, I'm already there. I'm already in heaven? Okay, a few of you. Well, you need to get there. You need to get, your heart needs to be there, not here, there, okay? Because that's where the treasure is. That's where it lasts for eternity. That's what it's all about. It's about storing up treasure there. Too many people, man, I don't have time to get off on things, but I'm going to go where the Spirit leads me. I've got so much to say today. But too many people work so hard to leave an earthly inheritance for their children, and they forget to leave a heavenly inheritance for them. When they should be working with all of their heart and might, everything in them, to leave them a heavenly inheritance. Who cares about the things of this earth? They will burn up anyway. And so we've got to wake up. All right? So Jesus also said this in verse 24. He said, no one can serve two masters. For you either hate one and love the other, or you'd be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and be enslaved to money. All right, the word there is mammon. It's not just money, it's earthly things. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to or captive to the earthly things. All right? You know how you need to look at earthly things? Earthly things need to be, you need to look at them just like I was just telling you about Kim earlier. Right? I love her. I want her. I'm thankful for her, but I don't need her. Right? I need Jesus. Jesus is all I need. So for those earthly things, be thankful for them. Be thankful. Anybody thankful for some earthly thing you got? Some material possession? I am. I'm thankful for my new truck that I got. I love that new truck. I've been wanting a truck my whole life. I've never had a pickup truck. I finally got one. Thank you, Jesus. And now he's about to come back. So guess what? I'm going to have a truck in heaven. I don't know if I will or not. I don't really care if I do or not. But I'm thankful for it. Okay, I'm thankful that I have it, but it doesn't have me. Amen? All right, I could go on and on and on, but the word of God is full of warnings that say beware of falling into this trap of the world. Okay, but let me go to an eye-opener when it comes to the last days. Luke 17, turn there, Luke 17, or it's on the screen. Verse 26 says this. Jesus is speaking, and he says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating, drinking, buying, selling, farming, building. Listen, when you see, go back to that real quick. When you see that kind of stuff, You need to outline, underline, highlight those kind of things. These are important signs of the times. Jesus is talking about what will it be like when the Son of Man comes. When Jesus comes in the clouds, the rapture, harpazo, this is what it's going to look like. And he said, people went about their daily business, eating, drinking, buying, selling, farming, building. It's going to be business as usual. In fact, he says that. He says, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed, verse 31, and destroy them all. Yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Okay? Did I skip ahead? I did skip ahead, didn't I? Let's go back. Let's go back to verse 29. Okay? So, buying, selling, farming, building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Till the morning Lot left Sodom, then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So, just like in the days of Noah, when the rains came from where? The heavens, okay? Just like in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, fire and burning sulfur will come from where? Came from heavens, okay? And when Jesus returns, he's coming from where? The heavens. You see a pattern here? All right, so this is what's going to happen. And it says that, yes, it will be business as usual right up till the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a person on the deck of the roof must not go down into the house to pack. And a person out in the field must not return home. Okay, let me just stop right there. Don't go to the next one. So I've read this scripture, this passage of this scripture, many, many times over the years. How many of you can say the same? All right. Every time I've read this scripture up until recently, I've thought it meant one thing until the Lord revealed something to me about what this actually means. So what I always thought this meant was that there wouldn't be enough time. On that day, a person out on the deck of his roof must not go down into the house to pack, and a person out in the field must not return home. I thought it meant there wouldn't be enough time, because we know that the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes, it's going to be like lightning that flashes from the east to the west. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be like that, right? Even quicker than that, Jesus will come. So I thought it meant there's not going to be enough time, but that's not what this means at all. I'm about to show you something. Maybe you haven't seen it before either, but watch the very next line. Go to it. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Oh, that changes everything. Anybody remember what happens to Lot's wife? Lot's wife got turned into a pillar of salt. Why? She looked back. What was she doing? She was holding on to the earthly things. She was looking back to what she was leaving instead of looking forward to where God was taking her. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Spirit right now. If you're not getting this, she was looking back to the things of earth, to the things that she had in Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, here's the thing about this. This is the thing that blows my mind when I read this. It was a terrible place to be. The Bible says Sodom and Gomorrah was a vile place. It was full of filth and vulgarity. It was a terrible place to be. Did you know what happened just before God delivered them from Sodom? Yeah, the men of the city came and wanted the angels. They just saw men going to the house and wanted the angels. They wanted them to bring the angels out and do things to them. I'm going to say it that way. That's PG-ing it right here in this building, all right? It was a vulgar, vile place. This is the word of God. And God delivers them from this terrible place, yet Lot's wife still looks back, mourning for what she was leaving instead of being thankful for and excited about where God was taking them. Jesus is about to come back, and he's about to rescue his church, deliver us from this horrible, vile, vulgar place, this world, and he's going to take us to this place that he created for us. It's called heaven. It's a place where he built a room just for you, and you're going to go to this place, and if we're clinging to the things of this world, we're looking back to the things of this world, we're not going. Okay, I know that's strong, but I feel like I got to preach what the Lord told me to say today. There are going to be people in this room. If you don't wake up, you're not going to go. Because you have an unhealthy grip on the things of this world. It's holding you back. You say you love Jesus, but man, you're looking back at these things. You're holding on to these things so tightly. Who cares about these earthly things? All that should matter is heaven. The Bible says, set your sights on heavenly things. where God resides, not on earthly things. I mean, I could go on and give you scripture after scripture. I'm trying to show you. I'm going to get to the signs in a moment, but this is one of the big ones. This is a big one. Watch verse 33. If you cling to your life, so he says, remember Lot's wife. Then he says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you let go of your life, you will save it. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Bottom line is this, your heart cannot be divided. What Jesus was saying here was a person out on the deck of the roof can't go down to the house to pack. In other words, forget your earthly things. A person on the deck of the roof, just go. Be ready to go. If your heart is, oh, I got to go get my stuff, then your heart's in the wrong place. Is this making sense to you? That blew my mind when I saw that. I always thought it was, you're not going to have enough time to pack. No, he's talking about people that aren't going to be ready to go. And the reason is Lot's wife. Okay? All right, so I opened with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture. Okay, let's take a look at what the word says right after that passage. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 ends that chapter, but it doesn't end the thought. It doesn't end what Paul is talking about here. He goes right in. Remember, the chapters and verses were given to us just for our benefit in the Word of God like this, but when it was a letter from Paul to the Thessalonians, it was all one letter. Does that make sense? So he went from verse 18 in chapter 4 right into this. Watch. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, what? The rapture. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't need to write you, for you all, you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster would fall on them suddenly as a pregnant woman begins labor pains. Okay, and there will be no escape. Stop right there. Okay, let's not go to the next verse. Okay, so we read this, and this is where a lot of, I'm trying to show you some things that happened in the church to help us see what I'm about to show you. This is where a lot of the church has stopped. This is where a lot of believers read and then they stop. Or at least that's what it seems like, because what's happened is way back in the early beginning of the early church, let's say over here, was Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. This is 2,000 years ago, by the way. Jesus is coming. All the writers, of the Gospels and all the writers of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit inspired them to say these words. Remember that. This is the Word of God coming through human beings, writing it down, right? And so God inspired them to say, Jesus is coming. Jesus, warn everybody. Jesus is coming. Be alert. Jesus, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And then time went on and the church moved more toward the middle. And then all of a sudden the church moved way over to this side. And then all of a sudden you started hearing things in the church like, well, we're not supposed to know when he comes. It's a mystery. No one will know, but he's coming. Jesus is coming, but nobody knows when. And do you see what happened? The enemy slowly and methodically moved the church away from this great expectancy where they're talking about it daily to one another, encouraging each other every day. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You know, hey, guess what? I woke up this morning, he didn't come yet, but he's coming today. He might be today. It might be today. And the enemy just moved him away slowly and methodically to where the church now is, well, you're not supposed to know the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour, so we don't know. He's coming, but we don't know. Yeah, it looks like some signs maybe. I don't know. Maybe, but you know what I mean? Listen, when I was preparing for this, in fact, the past year I've been looking, I don't see any churches talking about Jesus coming. I don't see it out there. I'm looking in our area, I'm looking around the state, I don't see a lot of churches talking about this. And can I tell you, we are so close. We are so close to this happening, this event that the whole world's been, all the Christian world, the believers have been longing for, the early church, we're talking about it all the time. And so we don't talk about it anymore. And we read the scriptures and say, well, everything is, you know, peaceful and secure, and then disaster will fall suddenly, right? Okay, so, but here's what we read in the beginning of this. It'll come unexpectedly like a thief in the night when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure. We read all that unexpectedly. The day and the hour is unknown. But let me go to the very next verse. Verse 4, watch. But you aren't in the dark about these things. He's talking to believers. You aren't in the dark, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Yes, he's coming like a thief, but not to you. He's coming like a thief, but not to you who are watching and waiting and ready. Those of you who have oil in your lamp and you're clothed and ready for his return, and you're talking about it to each other and building one another up and telling each other and warning each other, Jesus is coming. You're not going to be caught off guard. That's what the scripture just said. All right? You won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Verse 5, for you are children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Nighttime is when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Wow. So this scripture starts out with Jesus is coming unexpectedly like a thief, but not to you. You won't be surprised. I'm here to tear down, dispel, destroy the belief that Christians will be in the dark about this. I'm not here to set a date today. I promise you that. I'm not going to set no date. But I'm going to tell you this. It's very soon, and I'm going to show you the signs, and I'm going to let you make up your mind. Okay? That's my job, is to show you. All right? So where do we get all this belief that we're not supposed to know he's coming or when he's coming? Where do we get this? Well, the day and the hour is unknown. Anybody heard that before? Jesus said, and of that day, the day and the hour is unknown. No one knows the day or the hour, not the angels of heaven, not the Son, only the Father, right? All right, I am losing my voice again. You guys notice this? I rebuke that demon in the name of Jesus. Well, you're just going to have to hear me hoarse, all right, because I'm going to still talk. That phrase, as recorded in Matthew 24, okay, now I believe it's true that we will not know the exact day and the exact hour, all right? I believe that, all right? However, that phrase is a Jewish idiom for the Feast of Trumpets. That's what it is. And back in that day, they knew that. When he used that phrase, they actually knew what he was talking about. How many of you have heard me teach about the Galilean wedding? Okay, a Galilean wedding is a picture of the rapture. All right, so back then, they knew these phrases because that was part of their culture. That phrase actually meant that the day and the hour is unknown is associated with the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, which is the Jewish festival that brings... That begins on the first day of the seventh month, Tishri. The feast is unique in this way. All the other feasts, the other six feast festivals, have an appointed date, a set date. The Feast of Trumpets is the only feast that has no set date. The way they determine the Feast of Trumpets every year is by the new moon. And when they spot or sight the new moon, then they know that the Feast of Trumpets is beginning. In fact, what they do, get this, and I don't have time to go into all this detail, but they send two witnesses out. Oh, what's that sound like? They send two witnesses out to go spot the new moon. And these two witnesses go out and they have to watch, looking at the skies, watch and wait for the new moon. And the moment they see the new moon is the moment they blow the trumpet and the feast begins. If that's not a picture of the rapture, I don't know what is. And so these two witnesses go out, and the reason they call it the day and the hour is unknown, the feast, in fact, they call this the feast of the day and the hour is unknown. That's what they call it. Okay? We're here in America, we don't call it that. We call it the Feast of Trumpets, and most of us didn't even know that. We don't know about the Jewish feast. We don't study them. We don't really pay attention to it. Okay, but that's what they call it over there in Israel, the Feast of the Day and the Hour is Unknown. And these witnesses go out and they have to watch. And what happens is this. It might be overcast that night and they don't see the new moon. And they both have to witness it in order to blow the trumpet and agree that they see it. So they may go out and it's overcast that night. They don't see the new moon, so they don't blow the trumpet. They may go out the next night and it's overcast. They don't see it. They don't blow the trumpet. But the third night, all of a sudden they see a sliver. The feast. Isn't that incredible? the whole picture here that we're supposed to be looking at the skies, watching and waiting for his return. The whole thing, the whole feast is about that. And in that feast, the Feast of Trumpets, what they do is a two-day feast. This year, it's September 23rd and 24th. It's coming up. And what they will do is on the last day of the feast, they'll blow the trumpet 100 times. And the last time they blow it, they actually call it the last trump. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, when the last trump sounds. Come on, y'all. So watch. Stay alert. That's what he's telling us. Stay alert. Keep watching. Keep our oil in our lamps. Keep our clothing ready. In Revelation, he says, blessed are those who are clothed, dressed, and ready for my return. Okay? All right. I know you guys are like, where are the signs? Where are the signs? I'm coming. Here they come. In Matthew 16, watch this. In Matthew 16, Jesus scolded the Pharisees for not knowing how to interpret the weather signs in the skies. I mean, not knowing how to interpret the signs of the times. This is what he said to him. He said, you mean you to tell me you know how to interpret the weather by the signs in the sky? You know, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. You know how to interpret the signs of the weather, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times? And so he was actually scolding the Pharisees and those around for not paying attention to the signs, for not watching. All right, Matthew 24, 3 and 28. Watch this. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives and his disciples came to him privately and said, tell us when this will happen. What sign will signal your return in the end of the world? Let me just stop here and say, if ever there was a moment for Jesus to correct his believers, his followers, and say, you're not supposed to know the signs. You're not going to know when I return. If ever there was a moment, this is the time, right? Because they're asking, tell us when this will happen. What will be the sign of your return in the end of the world? Jesus, if he didn't want us to know, he would have said right there, you're not supposed to know. Don't worry about it. Just follow me. Give your whole heart to me. Follow me. And when it happens, it happens. That would have been the perfect moment. But he didn't do that. He started telling them the signs. And if you look at verse 28, he says this. He says, just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. So signs are for the purpose of informing you where you are and where you are headed. Right? When you're driving, the closer you get to your destination, the more frequent the signs become, and the larger they become. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're driving from here to Cincinnati, you're not going to see a sign when you get on I-94 right here. You're not going to see a sign that says Cincinnati, 332 miles away. Right? I don't even know how many miles it is. I just made that up. But you're not going to see a sign. Right? But when you cross over the border into Ohio, all of a sudden you're going to start seeing signs, Cincinnati, whatever it is, 332 miles away. Right? And the closer you get to Cincinnati, the more signs you will see, the more frequent they will come, and the larger they will get. Amen? Amen. They're there to tell you your exit's coming up. And if you got GPS now we all got these, right? And in our car, and it drives us nuts, because if we miss the exit, redirecting, right? Well, let me tell you something. You miss the rapture, there's no redirecting. Is there a way to get to heaven after that? Yes, there is, but it's really hard. You don't want to be here for it. Trust me, it's a lot easier just to give him your whole heart now. Trust me, okay? So, signs are for the purpose of showing us what's coming. And so Jesus gave us plenty of signs in his word. He gave us plenty of signs. He's giving us plenty of signs in the skies and on the earth and in world events. And that's what I'm going to show you today. Four categories of signs in the heavens, on the earth, in the world, political, national, and through the Word of God. All right, let's start with the Word of God. Israel becoming a nation. All right, man, I'm going to blow through this. You think I can do this in 30 minutes? I think I can. I can do it. Israel becoming a nation is known as the super sign. Okay? Why? I'll show you in the Word of God, but it's known as the super sign. The moment they became a nation, that was a large sign. Okay? Jesus is coming soon. Matthew 24, same chapter I was just talking about where Jesus said there will be signs. Verse 32, he says, Hold on 1 second, Rick. You got a few minutes. Yeah. Yeah, hold on. I don't want you, if you get up here now, man, you'd be playing for a few minutes. At least two. I'll point at you, maybe. All right, verse 32, Matthew 24. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. The fig tree traditionally represents the nation of Israel, okay? Learn this lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all of these things, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all of these things take place. And he was about to, then he goes into all of the things that were going to take place. So this scripture is a prophetic scripture about the nation of Israel. This is about Israel becoming a nation. When you see, learn this lesson from the fig tree, from the nation of Israel, when its branches bud, in other words, when it becomes a nation again. And there's other scriptures, I go into a lot of detail, but I don't have time. But trust me, this you go search it out, okay? It's there. So this is talking about this. So it says, when Israel becomes a nation, this generation will not pass away until all of these things happen. So Jesus is going to come, I believe with all of my heart, and so do many, 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 many other scholars that study the Word of God, eschatology experts, that Jesus will come before Israel, that generation that became a nation, passes away. All right? So, Isaiah 66 is a prophetic word from the Lord about Israel being reborn in a single day. All right? I'm not going to read it. You can look it up. Write that down. It's in Isaiah 66. Can a nation be born in a day? That's talking about Israel. So, it happened on May 14th, 1948, after 2,000 years of exile. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation after 2,000 years. It's important to understand that. 2,000 years of exile. Okay, why is that important? Well, did you know that Abraham was born 1,948 years after Adam was created? 1948 years after Adam was created, Abraham was born. Did you know that Israel was reborn 1,948 years after the second Adam was born? Think about that. Adam's created. 1948 years later, Abraham, the father of nations, was born. Jesus is born 1948 years, the Israel of nation, the nation of Israel was reborn. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:45, the scriptures tell us that the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the second, the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. So this is also talking about Adam being a living person, a human body. Jesus being a life-giving spirit, a heavenly body, we are about to leave this human body and be transformed into a heavenly body. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Anybody tired of this body? Yes. Especially the older you get, right? I was down there on my knees worshiping this morning, and Jimmy was down there. And Jimmy, how old are you now, Jimmy? 77. He's down there on his knees worshiping next to me. Now, Jimmy is superhuman, by the way. I didn't know if you guys knew that. But he's down there on his knees next to me, and I went to get up. I had to hold his hand to get up. I am about to be 59. And everything's cracking and popping as I'm getting up. I am so ready for a new body. Amen? But that's a powerful scripture. It shows us, okay? So Israel was reborn, listen to this, Israel was reborn in the afternoon of the second day. I'm going to show it to you. Hosea chapter 6, look at this scripture. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down that he will bind us up. Watch this. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up. Hallelujah. That we may, what? Watch this. That we may live before him. That means in his presence. Before him, with him. That's in heaven, y'all. That we may be with him, okay? Verse 3, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth in the clouds. This is a prophetic scripture that that Israel will be reborn, okay, after 2 days. Watch this. Did I have the graphic up there? 0 to 1,000. Did I put that in there? Okay, 0 to 1,000, okay. Zero being, you know, between BC and AD, all right? Jesus being born, 0 to 1,000 is day one. Okay, go to the next one. 1,000 to 2,000 is day two. And 1948, in the afternoon of day two, Israel was reborn. All right? And then go on to the next one. 2,000 beyond is day three. All right? On day three, he will raise us up. I'm going to show you more scripture to show this to you. Exodus 19. Watch this. A lot of people miss this and don't realize this is another type and shadow of the rapture. Verse 15, and he said to the people, this is Moses, be ready for the third day. Be ready for what day? The third day. Do not go near a woman. I'm not going to explain what that means. You all should know what that means. All right? PG that. All right? But that's what that means. All right? Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. On the third day, the morning of the third day, clouds came. This is the Lord coming in the clouds. All right? In fact, Moses told them, don't touch the mountain. This is later in Scripture. Go read this. Don't let them touch the mountain or they'll die. So they were being brought out on the third day to meet the Lord. All right? Leviticus 7:17 says this, any meat left over until the third day must be completely burned up. This is another prophetic scripture. You can go read the whole chapter and read about this. But what this is talking about is any meat left over until the third day must be burned up. In other words, if it's left over, if it's not taken up on the third day, it will be destroyed by fire, must be burned up. It's another picture of the rapture is going to take place, and then there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period, and then this earth is going to burn up. We know this by many other signs in Revelation that are coming, okay? So we don't want to be here when that happens. John 2:1. Let's go to the New Testament. English Standard Version says this, and on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. You all know about this wedding, right? Did you know that this wedding took place, the Bible says, on the third day? Why would God do that? Why would he put that in the Word of God? Why would he record what day it happened on? Right? Anybody? He says, on the third day, there was a wedding. And at this wedding, Jesus went to it. And you know this. This was his first performed miracle in front of people there. He performed the miracle of turning water into wine. Oh, come on, y'all. That's all about our salvation. Six jars of water were turned. Six is the number of man. He took what was in man and he purified it with the new wine, the blood of Jesus. On the third day, there's going to be a wedding. We're going to be raised up to be wed with the Lord in the air. Amen? Okay. So, I'm going to move on. Here's another thing. I got to throw this in there. I'm trying to cut through this as fast as possible. What day did Jesus rise from the grave? On the morning of the third day, the Bible says. On the morning of the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. I could go on and on and on and on and show you how many times in the Word of God it talks about the third day and being raised up. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back in the clouds on the third day. We're in the third day. Amen. The third day started at 2000. It's 2025. We're in the third day. He's about to come back. In fact, the Bible says that very early in the morning, Mary ran to the tomb. Early in the morning, it's going to happen. And this generation will not pass away. Psalm 90:10 says this, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Did you see that? 70 to 80 years and we fly away. Now, is this about what a generation is? How many years it is? Yes, absolutely. But isn't it interesting, says that after 70 to 80 years, then we'll fly away? We used to sing a song in the church, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly. Anybody? Fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Why don't we sing those things anymore? We should sing that. That's good. Most of you know it too. All right, so 70 to 80 years is a generation. Okay, watch. Here we go. So Israel became a nation, 1948. Israel is 77 years old this year. 77. Okay? How long is a generation? 70 to 80 years. This generation shall not pass away till they see the coming of the Lord in the clouds. Are y'all getting this? But let me show you more. But wait, there's more. All right? Watch. Jacob was 77 years old when he took his first wife, Leah. And a week later, 7 days later, he got Rachel. 7 days later, which can represent 7 years. Those seven, Jacob had to work. Listen, Jacob worked 7 years to get Rachel, and Laban deceived him, and he got Leah instead, right? And 7 days later, he gets Rachel, but he had to work another 7 years for the covenant for Rachel. That time that he worked, that other 7 years, has always been known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Do you know what else they call the time of Jacob's trouble? The 7 year tribulation period. So think about that. Jacob was 77 when he took his wife. 7 years he had to work through tribulation to get Rachel. Watch, there's more. From Adam to Jesus is a certain amount of generations. Guess how many? 77 generations from Adam to Jesus. Okay? You with me so far? 1 John 3, 1 through 3 says, well, I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but it says we will see him as he is, all right? Revelation 22, 3 and 4, in there it says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything. All right, these are scriptures that are talking about what this 77 means. What 77 means, the number 77 in the Bible means spiritual completeness. That's what it means, spiritual completeness. So you do what you want with this, but I'm just showing you all of this in the Word of God. If you took if the rapture took place this year, and the time of Jacob's trouble, that 7 year tribulation period began, Israel would be 84 years old when Jesus would step foot in Jerusalem again. Right? So the rapture is going to take place. For those who don't know, the rapture is going to take place. When it does take place, there will be a 7 year tribulation period. At the end of that tribulation period, Jesus will come back. We will come back with him. The Bible says he'll be coming back riding on a white horse to make war against the nations. It'll be the Battle of Armageddon, and he will step foot in Jerusalem for the first time since he ascended to heaven. Come on, y'all, this is getting good. And Israel will be 84 years old when that takes place, if the rapture takes place right now, all right, this year. Okay? Watch. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem the first time, he was just a few days old. And they took him to the temple in Jerusalem, and a man named Simeon came and took baby Jesus and blessed him. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You read this in the Word? And he took him in his arms, and he blessed him, and he said, he is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. This is what Simeon did, right? And as he was doing it, a prophet, the Bible records, a prophet named Anna came. She had been in the temple day and night, night and day. She'd never left, the Bible said. She was married for 7 years. Her husband died. Then she went to the temple, and she stayed there all those years waiting for the Messiah to come. And when she saw Simeon do this, she ran over, and she said, finally, the Messiah is here. Guess how old she was? 84 years old. She'd been waiting for the Messiah to come. And here's the thing about it. The Bible records it. The Bible, why would God record her age? It says she was a very old woman at 84. Now, obviously, they didn't know Bill Forbes at that time. because 84 is not that old if you know Bill Forbes. Just kidding, Bill. That's for your golf comment this morning. Here's the thing. Anna represents Israel finally being restored to the Lord. Okay? The date counts in Daniel chapter 12, are lining up with the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Passover, again, during a seven-year span. Let me show you that real quick, and then I'm going to get to some other signs. I promise you, I'm moving on. From September 23rd, 2025, that's the Feast of Trumpets this year, to April 5th, 2029, Passover day 6, is 1,290 days. That's recorded in Daniel. Then from April 5th, 2029, Passover day 6 to September 15th, 2032, the Day of Atonement is 1,260 days. That's also in Daniel. Okay, so from Passover, April 5th, 2029, to Hanukkah day 3 in December 1st is 2032 is 1,335 days. And all that alignment is precisely with the prophecy in Daniel. Now, let me show you this. If you take 1,290 days plus 1,260 days, which is what Daniel said there would be, and in the middle of that, at that 1,290 days would be the abomination that causes desolation, which is the Antichrist setting up the abomination in the temple, the third temple, okay? And then that's the halfway period of the tribulation, and then the other half of the tribulation. If you take 1,290 plus 1,260, it equals, do I have that back there? 2,550 days, all right? From September 23rd, 2025, the Feast of Trumpets, to September 15th, 2032, which is the Feast of Atonement, is exactly 2,550 days. 7 years exactly. Now, you're like, what's the big deal? Well, they took this number and they went out 200 years from now. From now, out 200 years, and it never happened again. It's never going to happen again like that. Put that back up there. It will never happen again, at least 200 years. They didn't go out any farther than that. It's as far as they could go. It will never happen again, okay? They went back 200 years to see how many times it had happened in the past. And they found that it's happened 6 times in the past. 6 times. This will be the 7th. But guess what? It didn't start happening until 1948. I'm not making this up. You can look it up. It did not happen until 1948. It's happened 6 times. This will be the 7th time. Okay? People have done a lot of research on this. You can look it up. You know, the numbers are out there. It's math, right? All right? But God knew what he was doing. He knew from the beginning. I'm not setting any dates. I'm just telling.